Our scripture verse this morning is Luke chapter 6, verse 31. We continue the series Following Jesus, and we're looking at three great loves. This morning we're looking at love of creation, and this is known as the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at love of creation this morning, and I don't know how you feel about gardening, but when I was growing up, my father's hobby for us kids was his five-acre garden, and he would rototill it. We'd help with that after a while, but then we had to plant what seemed to me like miles of tomatoes and lettuce, and then my favorite, beans and peas. We didn't mind the pumpkins, you know, and the corn, but the beans and peas, not so much. And it took forever to plant that. And then the worst part was every Saturday in the summertime, sometimes three times a week, we would have to weed for two, it would seem to me like 3 hours, before we could go do whatever it was that we wanted. And we would always cry that this was some kind of violation of child labor laws, for sure, but it was never enforced. So hours upon hours we were doing this. And, you know, when you're doing the tomatoes and the lettuce, you think, okay, I'm going to reap some benefit from this. But for me, when I was doing beets and peas, I just felt like I was, you know, preparing it to something that I really didn't want to eat. Let me put it that way. So anyway, one of the things I would swear is that when I grew up, I would never, ever have a garden, and I would never submit my kids to that kind of torture, what I thought was torture anyway. So I lived that vow, that promise to myself. But then one time when my daughter was about 8 years old, we went to some friend's house, and they had a great dinner prepared, and a lot of what they prepared came out of the garden. We had some great corn and nice salad, fresh lettuce, and we got a little tour of how wonderful the garden was, and I thought of all these past memories I had. But we came home, and my daughter said, "Dad, can we plant a garden?" And I said, "What in the world would you want a garden for?" She said, "Dad, it'd be so much fun. We could plant stuff. We could watch it grow." I said, "You know you have to weed a garden." She said, "That's okay, Dad. I'll be right there with you all the time." And she said, "Then when things grow, we could pick it and we could prepare it for dinner and it'd just be fabulous." And so she talked me into it as only a sweet girl kind of her father. And so we planted that garden. And I thought to myself, how have I deprived my daughter of a garden all these years because of what I went through as a young person? And so we learned to enjoy the garden. Now, she's not weeding the garden all that much, frankly. But it reminds me, when we think about spring right now, and this week I just went out and worked on the garden some and thinking about that, and it's not so much a chore anymore now as it's a blessing. And I do enjoy watching things grow. But as we think about spring and all that it represents, I think, you know, probably this year more than any other year, I've really appreciated spring, right? Because we were all cooped up, didn't want to stay at home, and then we got the chance to go out, and then, you know, people really enjoying garden more than ever. But as we think about gardening and we think about our three great loves, we look at, some weeks ago, we looked at the greatest love, which is God's love for us, and how God sent Christ to come and to share our life and to share love with us, forgiveness and grace, and to help us discover his love and forgiveness on Calvary and then the hope of new life. And then we've talked about the greatest love, the great command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We discovered that God's love for us helps us to love ourselves and to love our neighbor. And we sort of fleshed out what it means to be neighbor. And so we looked at loving our children and then expanding the boundaries and realizing that we could love the children of our world, but it's in our community. There's different avenues that we can do that. And then we talked about loving our neighbor, and we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan and how Jesus challenged us to open up and broaden our boundaries of what a neighbor might be, and to look beyond race and to look beyond language and things like that, and to discover what it was to love our neighbor anew. And this morning we're looking at loving creation. And I suppose when we say that at first, we think, well, that seems to be a jump, doesn't it, from neighbor to creation. But let me try to make the connection this morning and draw a line for all of us. And in one sense, when you think about this weekend, which is Memorial Day weekend, and we honor those who've given their lives that we could know freedom and that we could know justice, and we continue to aspire to those highest ideals. But those people lay down their life to give us the gift of freedom. In a very real way, it wasn't just for their neighbors, but also for the next generation. And so when we think about loving creation, we sort of extend that. Now, I don't want to minimize the great sacrifice of our men and women in the armed forces who've given their lives defending our freedoms and for freedom for those around the world. But what I do want us to see is that our neighbor isn't just our neighbor next door, even across the street, or around the country, around the globe, but also the next generation. And when we care for creation and we learn to love creation, we, in fact, are loving the next generation, our children and the next generation of children and on down the road. And so Jesus, in this golden rule this morning that says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, I think that when we look back from generations before us, we would say, well, what if we weren't given the creation that we're given today? And we realize sometimes that how we treat our air and our land and our oceans, in very real sense, is a gift to the next generation as well as those living right now. To do unto them, the next generation, as we'd have them do unto us. To learn to love and appreciate creation. Now, I'm not going to go through a lot of statistics and a lot of kinds of theories or anything, but I think we all know that how we treat our air and our water and our entire world makes a difference for our quality of life, but the quality of life for the next generation, and not to sort of burn out creation, but to treat it like it's something that's a gift to the next generation, and to realize the things that we enjoy now, the next generation might not take for granted. They might realize that it was a great gift to us. It's been interesting in this COVID pandemic, one of the little blessings, in addition to sort of looking at our lives and seeing how we can reset them, is that as we've traveled less and some of the industries have toned down a little bit, all of a sudden the air is cleaner in lots of places. And my favorite is wildlife is roaming places that we never saw it before. And so it's interesting to see these antelope walking down the street, or coyotes, I guess, crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, and these great usually you think you have to go out into the woods or way out in nature to enjoy wildlife, but here they sort of shared our streets with us. It's been kind of a nice reminder that we need to take care of God's creation. And so how might we sort of adjust our life a little bit and make a difference for people and to do something for not only our children, but our children's children and the next generation? So what can you do? I think that the other thing to look at besides this, besides the great command and the golden rule, is sort of the Genesis stewardship principle. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, and particularly verse 15, in Genesis chapter 2, God is sort of pictured as a gardener, as a farmer, if you will. And God is not only creating the entire universe, but God has created a garden, everything that's in it. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, God commissions the first couple to take care of and to cultivate and to steward this great garden. And in a very real sense, to love it and to take care of it. The Hebrew words are abad and shamar. So the one is to till it and to work it, and the other is to take care of it and to steward it, literally. Now, sometimes when we think about farmers, we think about, well, maybe they're just sort of plowing it up and they're not really taking care of it. I want to say something that we got a farmer with us this morning. I know that farmer Gary loves his land almost as much as he does his John Deere tractor. And, you know, not as much as his wife. I don't get him in trouble, but maybe more. But, I mean, honestly, our farmers love and take care of their land. And they know that you can't abuse that land one year and not pay for it the next year. And so it's tilled and it's fertilized, and they think about what's the next year and the year after that, and what do you need to do to take care of the land. Many of our farmers have received the land from a previous generation or two, and many of them look forward to giving it to the next generation. I know farmers who have the farm in their family for three generations now and are looking forward to giving it to children or grandchildren down the road, and so they know that that's a gift. In order to have that gift, you need to steward it. You need to take care of it. And so we might not be farmers, but in all some sense, we're gardeners. And it does take some weeding and taking care of, but there's also the joy of planting. There's also the joy of watching it grow and then to prepare it for the next year. And so God has commissioned us as stewards. And notice the imagery is never that we own creation. It's that God, our Creator, has created creation and has let us use it as stewards of that. So what can we do as whether you're a farmer or a gardener that allows us to take care of our world in a way that will pass it on to the next generation and generation after that, and they will be thankful that we treated them as we would want to be treated ourselves. I think the other thing to look at in all of this is to really just appreciate it, in a sense, the sacredness and beauty of creation. And I think there's a big difference when we talk about loving creation. We're not talking about worshiping creation. We're talking about loving creation, and we want to worship the Creator, but we want to appreciate the beauty of God's creation that is magnificent. I love taking walks, and I've really appreciated this spring more than ever to be able to get outside and take a walk and to just appreciate nature. One of the things that I do personally is that for retreat, I try to get away at least once a month and to just get away. I usually get away to a state park, sometimes a national park, but usually a state park, and I just have a little mini retreat. And I spend some time in more devotional time than I normally would, and just sort of prayer and Bible reading, and then I put together my series of messages. But for me, I spend time in the beginning, at the end, a lot of times in the middle, just going for a walk on a nature trail, and in a very real sense, kind of look at the cathedral of God's creation, because it is a cathedral. It's as magnificent as this building is. God's creation is a cathedral in and of itself that points to a magnificent Creator. There's a theologian that I really admire by the name of Teilhard de Chardin, and his name actually in French is garden, but everything sounds better in French, of course. But one of the things that he said, he was a scientist, he was a paleontologist, and he pointed to this exact thing, the cathedral of God's creation, and to appreciate God's creation as a sacred, holy ground wherever we go, and to be able to worship God in that. Well, you don't need to be a theologian or philosopher, but you and I think many times have gone out into the woods and we've taken a walk, and in a moment we just have maybe a God moment. Maybe you've just seen a bird or a waterfall or something. You've just been struck by that moment, and you're sort of lifted heavenward to the Creator of all that is. And so I remind us that that's such an important thing. My daughter and I take vacations every summer, and we sort of plan them out ahead of time. We're supposed to go to California this summer, but that's not happening. That got postponed to at least till next year. So we're going to enjoy God's creation on the beaches of Florida as well as family. But one trip that we went on a few years ago was a trip that we had planned for a long time, which is our great Out West trip. And so we went to Mount Rushmore, and we went over to Yosemite, and we saw the National Park for the Arches, which was amazing too. But one of the things that I put on our itinerary is I said, we've got to go to the Grand Canyon. And my daughter would say, Dad, what do we got to go to the Grand Canyon for? And so I'd show her pictures of how beautiful the Grand Canyon was, and she'd just look at those pictures and say, Dad, it's just a big hole in the ground. What's the big deal? And I said, we got to go. You'll see. And so we're sort of marking that on our calendar as we drove. But as we got to the Grand Canyon that first day, it was really towards evening, and the sun was just setting. And so we hadn't even gone to our lodging yet. We just stopped one place and pulled in. And we walked out to the edge there, and we were just in awe of the sunset and the colors that were bathing all the rock formations in the Grand Canyon. And my daughter just said, oh, Dad, this is so beautiful. No picture ever captures this. And so we just spent time walking and enjoying it. And then next morning we get up early for sunset. And it was a whole different array of colors on the rock. And she said, oh, it's beautiful. And then we spent several days. We did some hiking. We just enjoyed it. But we both said that we just felt there was such a spiritual sense there, that you were drawn close to God because you're just awed by creation, and you're not worshiping the creation itself, but you're just pulled upward to God who made all this and who made it for us that we would enjoy and I think also to take care of. And so I think when we look at creation, we, you know, push the pause button in this present season as we go through COVID, and we take a walk with family, or we enjoy a walk in nature. It's one of the best things we can do for our own health and to prevent COVID. Is one of the safest places outdoors is to push the reset button on our life. And as we're rebuilding the foundation of our life and the things to work for, we think about loving God first and foremost, and then learning to love ourselves through God's forgiveness and grace, and then to love our family, our children, and to love our neighbors, and to keep expanding, but also to love and take care of God's creation. After all, it is God's creation. It's not ours. We're here as stewards. We're here as farmers, as gardeners to take care of it. And what we do counts. It counts for others in our community and across our country, around our world, but also to the next generation. I'm going to close with this thought. There's a passage in Scripture that's often overlooked in the Hebrew Scriptures in Genesis. And the setting is this, where Abraham, he and Sarah have been following God's plan and have on a long sojourn about 2,000 miles from Ur down to the Promised Land and down to Egypt, back up, and God has promised Abraham this promised land, literally. And they really haven't seen anything of real fulfillment to have a claim on that land. And then there's the Treaty of Beersheba that Abraham makes with a number of the kings that gives them a right to be there, a small sort of foothold in that country. And Abraham, after he signed that treaty, has a moment where he worships God and asks for God's blessing. And then as a symbol of honor, we're told that Abraham plants a tamarisk tree. Now, we don't have tamarisk trees around here, but a tamarisk tree is a tree that thrives in the desert region, which that was. But it's also a tree that's cherished in the desert region because it's one that provides shade, that is prized and blesses people. And so Abraham plants a tamarisk tree. Now, it's unlikely that Abraham really ever saw the full fulfillment of the blessing of that tamarisk tree. In fact, we think that Abraham did it to bless generations to come. One is a sign of God's faithfulness, that land would be the promised land for generations to come. But two, Abraham wanted to do something to bless the generations, so he planted a tree. A tree that even to this day is used in areas where there's a threat of the desert encroaching good farmland. They plant that tree there, and it helps provide shade, and it nurtures water and the ecosystem. And so Abraham planted a tamarisk tree that would be part of his legacy to bless generations to come. Now, you and I might not plant a tree, or we might. That's not a bad thing to do. But we can do things that will bless generations to come. We can love our children and our children's children, the next generation. So what can we do to tweak our lifestyle a little bit that will take care of God's creation? After all, it's not ours to take care of the land, the water, the air, everything, and to honor it as God's gift to us to take care of in our gift to the next generation. I challenge each of us to take a moment and reset our life in a way that might do something little, whatever it is, to practice. I know there's lots of things that we do in our household, but you can figure out the things that are best for you that we can love creation the way that God would have us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this golden rule to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, it's really such a simple principle, but has such great implications. Lord, help us to not only practice it to our families and our neighbors, but also to the next generation. Help us to rediscover this stewardship principle of creation in Genesis as something that laid the foundation for not only the books of the Bible and your word to us, but also a foundation for faith. Lord, help us to rediscover and appreciate your creation. Help us to steward and take care of it, and help us to pass it on to the next generation. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.